Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750. You're going to want to be one of the first callers today because today is tax day. That's right. We've got Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody back with us in the studio. We are doing our annual end of the year tax show where we tell you all the things that you need to know, and then we sort of talk about what we think will happen when Congress changes over and how that's going to affect you so that next April 15th or whatever day it ends up being, you're going to pay less or just as little as legally possible in taxes. So if you've got tax questions, you can hang out and you can listen to a little bit of what we're doing. We're going to open up the lines at some point in time, right, Crystal? We're going to open up phone lines? Yes? No? Maybe not. Well, maybe you can't call in. But you can send us questions on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Oh, the phone lines are now open, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, or on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Bill, Mary, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's very nice to have you. Very nice to be here. So there's... I think the biggest question marks that I can remember over the last 7 or 8 years with the change in Congress, nothing having been decided, we're facing another cliff with the budget, and as you pointed out to me in this email this morning, we have no idea exactly where the chips are going to fall. Is that right, Bill?
That's correct, and I anticipate we're going to have a very late start to the filing season as a result of Congress's inaction.
So one of the things that you have pointed out is that Congress has not moved forward on the 2014 extenders. So for everybody who hasn't listened to the show before, let's start there and explain what extenders are going to look like,
okay,
or what they are.
2 years ago, Congress, on the first day of 2013, actually changed tax law for 2012 by enacting a set of bills they called extenders. They expired at the end of 2013. Going forward, we're almost to the end of 2014, and we truly don't know the status of the extenders. And a quick survey of the ones that are going to affect many, many people. The one certainly that affects some of the listeners of your show, if your house is foreclosed on in 2014, your primary residence,
right,
and you have cancellation of debt, as of this instant in time, it will be taxable income because it is cancellation of debt. We're hoping that that gets extended, and the jury is out on whether or not they're going to do that. Then there's a bunch of the other extenders, like the $250 adjustment to income for educators K through 12, the bonus depreciation, which is very key to small businesses. Right now, it's not been extended. The Section 179 write-off for business assets used more than 50% in the business. That
like a car, like a truck, like other things, like a plane?
Computer. File cabinets, uh-huh, desk. That has reverted to its old $25,000 limit, and it starts to phase out when you put over $200,000 of assets into play. So that one is devastating because the typical extender number is $200,000. which sounds like a lot, but if you're a small businessman or a farmer, it just starts to scratch the surface.
So this isn't great.
No.
What's Congress been doing? Oh, nothing. Okay. So of course, we are, this show, as it usually does, is going to re-air at the end of the year. And do we think that between now and the end of the year, I mean, we're almost at the end of the year, right? 3 weeks from now is pretty much the end of the year. They're going to come back for a short session. We don't actually think anything's going to happen before the end of the year, right?
We're cautiously optimistic, but you know where that'll get us.
You're cautiously optimistic that in the 2 weeks the Congress comes back to work starting tomorrow, they're going to do something about this?
Don't know.
No, you're not. Okay. You're cautiously optimistic about other things. Okay. We'll get to those down the line. Mary, what do you think are some of the biggest issues facing us right now for taxes?
Well, the biggest questions I get now, especially from my clients, is how will the Affordable Care Act affect me?
Right.
And, you know, last year there was a big scramble about this time of the year to get people signed up for 2014. Now it's been a whole year later. The renewal period is open. That apparently is going pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But this will be the first time on a tax return, starting in January when you do your taxes, this will be the first time you actually have to face the fact that did I have insurance, and they count every single month mm-hmm. of the year, which is kind of crazy, and will I have to pay back any of the premium tax credit I got, and will I be responsible for any penalties? So this will be the first time that people have actually had to face the fact on their tax return that there's all these new questions about health insurance.
Goodness. And do we feel like at least that's a year coming? So we know that all the tax preparation software, you know, companies have had time to plan for that. That question, those series of questions should be okay on the forms, right?
Well, the computer programmers are doing all the right things as the regulations come out of IRS. But even as of last week, we were getting temporary regulations on how to handle situations. And so they're going to be last-minute tweaks, I would say, kind of like in previous years, if you buy off-the-shelf tax software, please do the updates during the year in case there's some change or some nuance that your software needs to be updated for.
I can only imagine for this year. So, okay. Well, we do know in Georgia some of the things that are going to be more specifically affecting our listeners. Do you want to run through some of those quickly?
Sure. It turns out Georgia generally does not accept the IRS extenders until the beginning of the year following when they're federally enacted. So Georgia's rather easy. Whether the extenders are enacted or not, they're going to ignore them. So what we know about...
That just sounds so political. I can't even stop laughing. We're going to ignore them.
It is. It turns out I always want to highlight the Georgia retirement exclusion. This allows people 62 years of age or older to get an exclusion of up to $35,000 taken away from their Georgia taxable income. If they're still working, $4,000 of that is earned income. The remainder can be any other sort of income, dividends, interest, stock sales, rental income, what have you. It goes up to $65,000 when people turn 65. And so I'll make the pitch that a lot of Georgia people don't have to look at moving to Florida to not pay a state sales tax, because very, very few people over 65 pay any tax in Georgia at the state level. It really works out well.
Well, that's actually nice. And then we've got an income tax cut for married taxpayers. How does that work?
Well, starting last year, if you were married, you got another $1,000 on your personal exemption, whether you filed jointly or separately. And as the courts deem right now, that is for people considered to be married legally in Georgia. As you're aware, Georgia does not recognize
same-sex marriage, right, even though the federal law does.
That is correct. And right now, 30 states, through usually judicial mandate, are recognizing same-sex marriages. So if you do
I just want to stop and say that is amazing, because that number last year was so far much lower.
Right, it was 17.
Wow, that's a big change in a year. And then the year before, most of the 17, right?
Right. So it's 60%, and it's got a lot of momentum. So we'll see where that goes.
Okay. But in the meantime, if you are a same-sex couple, you can file federally.
Jointly.
And then jointly, and then you have to file individually, right, in the state of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. which is probably a big pain in the neck. But
well, the good news is our software has a little checkbox that says if you're in Georgia and you're a same-sex couple, the software will generate the two individual state returns. So from our standpoint, it's been a little easier, although we do a lot of counseling. People wanting to get married, how much is that going to affect them at the federal level? And depending upon the circumstances, married people can pay a lot more tax.
It can be breathtaking.
Yeah, breathtaking. It's true. Well, we have a question that came in, and we'll answer it after we get back from the break, but I wanted to pose it to you so you can think about it. We had a caller who said that his sister has been on unemployment, has not been able to pay taxes for 2 years, can't pay this year, and what can she do? What options does she have? And, of course, we know so many people have been on unemployment on and off. And even now, although the unemployment rate is down so much, it's largely, I think, due to people getting part-time jobs. So there's still some questions there. And so we should probably talk about all that when we get back. Does that make sense?
That would be great.
All right. We're on with Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody, our tax professionals. They're enrolled agents, which means they are licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. They have their own tax company where they do tax returns for tens of thousands of people. You can call in with your tax questions, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, or you can tweet at Glink, at GLINK, comments and questions. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Today it's the Tax House on WSB.
Thankful I don't take it all.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, answering your money and real estate questions. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours, News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours, we've got Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody, enrolled agents, and our regular tax experts who hang out with us every single year, talking about what you can do to lower your tax bill next year. 404-872-0750. Let's take our first question. We talked about it just before we went to break. This caller said his sister's been on unemployment and not been able to pay taxes for 2 years. She can't pay this year. What should she do? Bill, Mary, what advice do you have for anybody? I mean, there's so many people who are in this situation.
The simple answer is it's cheaper to file now than to wait. That's the quick and dirty. In 2011, 2012, 2013, if she has unemployment, depending upon the amount she has and her personal circumstances, she may or may not have taxable income. She may have no tax liability, or she may have some tax liability. It all depends. For 2014, depending on how much she made, she would, in fact, have to look at whether she would be exempt from carrying personal health insurance because of her income or because of some other situation. If she had a notice of utility shutoff, if she was under the minimum required amount to file, if she's under the guidelines for low-income households, it depends. But at the end of the day, you save money if you file.
It's not as though you're actually paying that much in tax if you've been on unemployment. It's not that unemployment is paying you $100,000 a year, right? I mean,
that's correct.
Right. There is a minimum. I know that there's one concern that you have and that we have that people who really don't earn very much money but are looking for the earned income tax credit, they may have, and you have to earn income to get that, I know, but that they may also be out of luck started going forward.
Well, EITC, as we know it, was extended through 2017, so that is just fine. The fact that it has to be earned income, the unemployment would not qualify as earned income for the EITC.
Right, which we often get that question as well. All right, let's see if we can take a quick question here. Pam joins us on the line from Roswell. Pam, you have a question about your eBay tax ID number or your
Yes.
eBay business?
Well, yes, I do. I have an eBay commerce business, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to be able to buy wholesale. Obviously, I want to buy without paying taxes, and I'm trying to set this up. I've talked to the state. I've talked to the city because I live in the city of Roswell, and what I've done is I've reserved a name, but now I'm being told that I have to either go sole proprietorship or LLC, and I don't know which is the simplest. It's not a huge business yet, so I don't want to, you know, go overboard.
All right. Do we have a quick answer for Pam?
I think so. You have to keep separate the sales tax exemption number from the fact that you're an entity trying to qualify as sole proprietor or LLC. So go for the sales tax number separately, and I would probably start life as an LLC sole proprietor. If you've already reserved a name, just continue that process.
Sounds good. Pam, good luck. Let us know what happens. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We've got Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody talking tax today on the Elise Klink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Well, it ought to be enough for Uncle Sam. Am I right?
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
12:36, and we're actually talking tax today, like we always do near the end of the year. What can you do to lower your tax bill in 2015, which would be when you pay your 2014 taxes? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online at Twitter, at Glink, or you should friend the Elise Glink Facebook page with other, 6,000 other people, because every day we post Q&As that you'll find interesting, kind of like what we do here on the show, but they're written out. How exciting is that? 404-872-0750. I know, what could be more exciting than answering real estate questions? And yet we seem to make that work. We've got Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody in the studio talking tax. I have seriously not had enough caffeine. All right, shall we go back to the phones, guys?
Absolutely. You could call us Brary.
Ooh, you know, like that's not a bad idea. Brary. Let's go chat with David all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, David.
Hey, how are y'all?
We're good, thank you. What's going on with you today?
Okay, I am a Georgia resident, but I go to college in Alabama. Anyway, back in August, I sold my car for $6,000 to a private buyer and then bought another car for $4,000 from a private seller. So my question is, I've never filed taxes before. I'm claimed as an independent, as a dependent under my parents. So what am I responsible for as far as taxes are concerned for both of those transactions?
What did you pay for the first car, the one you sold for $6,000?
I sold that like in August 25th, and then I literally went and bought the other car next day.
But what did you pay for the first car?
Oh, about $9,800.
All right, Bill or Mary? What do you want to say?
It turns out he's trying to make this the equivalent of buying and selling houses, and it's not the same kind of animal. he basically lost $3,800 on the sale of his vehicle. Because it's a private use, there is no loss allowed. So the sale of the vehicle has no tax consequence. The fact that he bought another vehicle for $4,000, if it's just personal use vehicle, there's no problem there. If he bought it in Georgia, he'd end up paying the title ad valorem tax and then never paying the birthday tax again.
So, David, you don't owe anything, but you're also not going to get a benefit for your parents' tax return because you said you're still a dependent. Now, that could have changed, and the reason I asked you how much you paid for the first car, if you had paid only $4,000 for the first car and sold it for $6,000, then you would have had a profit. So, Bill, at that point, would he have owed anything?
Okay. Now, what was that tax that he was talking about that I need to pay that one time?
Well, a question. Did you purchase or did you register the car in Georgia?
Yes, I did. Both of them, actually.
Okay. So when you registered it, you went down and got the title changed, and you had to write a check out there for about 6.5% of the purchase price of the vehicle?
Yes.
Okay. That was the title ad valorem tax. As of 2013, you do not pay sales tax on the purchase of a car. You pay this one-time title ad valorem tax, and never again are you going to be hit with that birthday tax, which would have occurred had you done that, let's say, in 2012.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, David. Enjoy. Drive safely. 404-872-0750. Jack joins us on the line from Doraville. Hi, Jack. Jack?
You said Jack? I'm sorry.
I did. It's you. You're on the air. What's your question?
In 2009, I made an excess Roth IRA contribution of $6,000. And I've been trying to get my broker to reverse it because I had a dispute. They didn't transfer cash into my brokerage account fast enough to prevent a margin sellout. So finally, in 2013, I removed the excess contribution and my calculated allocated earnings for that almost five-year period. So my question is, those earnings that I had on the $6,000, What year would that be taxable income for me? And by the way, I've been paying the 6% penalty properly every year since 2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, we were just discussing your question a little bit before you came on the air, and we were thinking, well, your question's going to be about the 6% excise tax that you have to pay every year on over contributions. But your real question is not the excise tax, but what?
The earnings.
The earnings. Ah, paying on the earnings, right?
The allocated earnings, that which I took out of my account, when will that be taxable income? In what year?
The year you took them out.
Well, okay, 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when I get my Form 1099 early next year,
yes,
it'll show his earnings for distribution for 2014.
Yes, sir, it will. How old are you?
I am 67.
Oh, well, you're not going to have any tax on those earnings because earnings in a Roth are not taxed, especially if you're over 59 and a half.
Well, but this was an excess contribution.
How did that happen, by the way? How did you end up with a $6,000 excess contribution? Did you make a contribution twice in 1 year and forget about it?
No, I was, when the stockbroker did the margin sellout, because I had a margin call,
mm-hmm.
and because they didn't transfer the cash fast enough from another account I had, but I actually got them to reverse the transaction, and he told me it would never show on my statement or a Form 1099, but it did, and I couldn't get them to reverse it. The same thing happened 2 months later in 2009 because they didn't transfer cash fast enough again, and they again sold stock out. And I got them to fix that one as if it never happened, but they never would fix the first one. So I complained to the state of Georgia, and they referred me to FINRA, and FINRA wrote them a long letter and provided all the support, emails, et cetera.
And they didn't do anything.
But they didn't do anything. They sided with a broker.
Of course they did. Huh. Well, it sounds as though you don't need to keep paying a 6% penalty. Bill and Mary, why does he keep paying a 6% penalty?
No, he doesn't have to pay the what they call the excise tax on overcon. If he's already taken the excess contributions out, he doesn't have to continue to pay the 6%. But honestly, if you'd put it in 2009, you could have allocated some of that excess towards your contribution for 2010 and lowered your 6% penalty.
Yeah, I realize that, but I also made a 2010 contribution.
What about 11?
That also. Well, I wasn't eligible in 2011. My income was too high.
Okay. And what about 12 or 13?
I made a contribution in 2012. But in 2013, again, my income was too high.
Do you do your own tax return, Jack, or do you seek the advice of a competent professional?
I do my own tax return. I'm a CPA, but taxes are not my specialty, but I use taxact.com.
Okay, so, mm-hmm. Okay, well, it sounds like it's already worked out. I mean, Bill and Mary, don't you think this has all worked out for him?
Yeah, and I think his question about whether the earnings are going to be taxable or not will be satisfied by that 1099-R he gets about the distribution from the Roth.
Right.
And honestly, I don't have the text right here in front of me to quote you, you know, chapter and verse in the IRS code, but I do not believe that those earnings will be taxable.
Right. All right, Jack, good luck, and don't make an excess contribution this year, and it'll all work out. 404-872-0750. Hi, Mark. Mark is on the line from Cummings. You've got a question about tax deductions for alimony?
Yes, I do. Thanks.
Tell us what happened.
Sure. So in 2011, I paid alimony and claimed that alimony as a deduction for my 1040 tax returns. And then in 2013, the IRS came in and audited me because they wanted to make sure that the tax deductions were valid. So I sent them all my divorce paperwork, and they said to me that because I didn't have specific language in my divorce decree, that the alimony payments were not considered tax deductible. So they basically charged me about $7,000, about $6,000 in fees or in deductions they said I shouldn't have gotten, plus penalties and stuff. I went back this year with my ex-wife and an attorney, and we had the verbatim language that the IRS requires added to an amended agreement and made it pro nunc trunc, so that went, you know, back to the start of the thing, sent it to the IRS. They don't care. So that I'm starting making a payment arrangement with them to repay that money. But my ex-wife is in the process of, because she paid taxes that year. So the IRS technically double dipped. So what she's doing is she's amending her tax return for 2011, and she's going to go ahead and say that income was, you know, she shouldn't have paid tax on it. She's going to get a refund back. Is that money that she gets as a refund back, can I claim that as a tax deduction for, you know, alimony that I paid in 2014?
Mark, I just want to say that it sounds like you've gotten quadruple screwed, but I'm not quite sure why. And I'm so sorry. All right. Well, that little thing aside, Bill and Mary.
It turns out when his ex files her amended return for 11, yeah, she will get a refund, but that is her money. And I don't think Mark is going to get any benefit from that other than making him feel good.
I don't know how it's going to make him feel good, Bill. I mean, it's just going to make him feel worse. Why is it that the IRS is not allowing it? Because he didn't have the specific language? It seems a little unfair.
Well, the specific language is the first thing. The fact that they then went back and amended the language after the fact and wanted it to be in place for 2011, the IRS tax court a few years ago had some pronouncements that said, you can't go back and change the rules. And so whatever rules there were when you filed that tax return, that's what you're stuck with. Obviously, going forward from the date of that agreement, you're fine. But they won't go back in history and allow you to amend a divorce decree and take it into consideration.
So Bill, to that point, then, since the amendment or the modification with language was done in July of 2014, does that mean that any alimony I paid between January 1st and July of 2014 is not claimable?
That would be my opinion, and I think that's how the IRS is going to come down on it.
Oh, really annoying. Mark, I'm sorry we don't have better news for you, but good luck with that. Let us know what happens. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're going to do more tax with Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody back in a moment on WSB.
Elise Glink, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
It's 12:55. We're talking taxes today. What can you do to lower your tax bill next April 15th? 404-872-0750 in the studio. Our tax experts, Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody. They're enrolled agents. You can go to the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents website, GAEA.org, and you can find them or you can find everybody else. Let's see if we can squeeze another call in here. Dave joins us on the line from Woodstock. Hey, Dave.
Hello, Elise. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. What kind of a small business do you have?
I have a landscape business.
Landscape business?
Yes, ma'am.
It's a good year-round business in Georgia.
Right.
What's your question for Bill and Mary?
Okay. I do have an accountant. She told me I owed X amount of dollars. I sent a check in. The IRS got a check cleared. Then I got a letter from them about 10 days to 2 weeks later saying I owe an additional $259. I faxed the paperwork over to her.
To your accountant, yep. And she asked what the explanation was, and what'd she say?
On the paperwork from the IRS, she can't make it out. It doesn't say what the reason for it was. And she thinks that it possibly could be they're taking away the earned income credit. And I've been in business 10 years now, and I've always received it.
Uh-huh.
But there's no explanation. Now she wants to do a three-way call to the IRS.
Okay. Bill and Mary, what do you think?
I would speculate that Dave filed his return and paid after April 15th, and because of the modest amount of money, that is interest on the payment that was due on April 15th.
Okay, I have done an extension every year.
Okay, the extension is extension to file, not extension to pay, and so I've done a number of my troubled taxpayers on October 15th. They sent in the amount indicated, and then we got all of these letters for $200 to $300 saying, now you get to pay the interest on the taxes that were paid late. And because of the amount, I suggest it's interest rather than EITC because it's such a modest number.
So does that seem right? When did you give the IRS the check, Dave?
She finished on the 15th, and I sent it probably 5 to 6 days later because I hadn't. She wanted to mail me back all the paperwork.
So it would be more helpful to get all the paperwork done electronically, so it goes in immediately, and they can add either a credit card or they can do an automatic draw. But I think Bill is right. It sounds like you're paying interest on money, and it's a great thing for everybody to know. You really have to have your payment in on the 15th, even if you're going to file the paperwork a little bit later. We're talking taxes today. What you can do before the end of the year to lower your tax bill before next year. We have a whole bunch of things to go through that we do know, even though there's a whole lot of things we don't know, with our tax experts, Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody. They're enrolled agents. You can find an enrolled agent who is licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS, and yes, they can even help you fill out your tax forms at the4GAEA.org. If you're listening nationwide, it's the National Association of Enrolled Agents. I'm Elise Klink. We're rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Klink is live, answering your money and real estate questions. Rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 1:07 on the Elise Klink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time, starting with yours on WSB. We're talking taxes today. You can tweet me online. I have just tweeted out a story on how retirement benefits are changing, and I want to talk about that just for a minute because it ties right into taxes, and we're going to go back and take your questions. We've got Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody, our tax experts, enrolled agents, here in the studio with us. Social Security recipients will receive 1.7% bigger payments next year in 2015 for the annual COLA, cost of living adjustment. You're still going to pay, if you're not retired, 6.2% of your earnings into the Social Security system. The taxable earning amount that they will do that on, base it on, rises from $117,000 this year to $118,500. So the first $118,500 will pay 6.2% into Social Security. Medicare, standard Medicare Part B premiums remain at $104.90 next year. High income beneficiaries pay more. Deductible is unchanged at $147. There are other changes there. Your 401k contribution limit will increase again to $500 to $18,000 next year. The catch-up contribution for workers age 50 and older will grow by $500 to $6,000, or a total of $24,000 if you are 50 years of age or older, like I am now. So I actually just were changing our 401k plan at the office, and they asked me how much I wanted to take out, and so I said $1,000 a paycheck, because now I'm eligible to do that. Your IRA contribution limit will stay at $5,500 for 2015, and savers 50 and older can contribute an extra $1,000 for the catch-up. The limits this year are rising as well, so it's for the IRAs, it's $71,000 for individuals, $118,000 for couples, I think. Roth IRA limits are also increasing, so you can earn up to $131,000 for individuals and up to $193,000 for married couples. And then the savers credit is workers who save in a 401k or IRA. If your AGI, adjusted gross income, is less than $30,500 for singles or $45,750 for heads of households, $61,000 for married couples next year. Now, Bill and Mary, there seems to be a new type of retirement account Treasury is going to be offering called MyRA. Have you heard about this?
No.
No. I have not heard anything about this. This came up, this popped up in a U.S. news story, and it said these are Roth accounts funded with after-tax dollars but not tied to your job and are guaranteed by the government to never lose value. And they will be available for workers with an annual income of less than $129,000 for individuals and $191,000. And they can use the account for 30 years or until the balance hits $15,000, after which it transfers to the private sector. No idea what these are, haven't heard anything, and yet interesting to see that Treasury is going to be offering something new when they haven't even fixed all the stuff that's old yet, right?
That's right.
Oh, gosh. All right, so let's go back and talk to Susan. Susan's on the line from Dunwoody. Hey, what's your tax question?
Yes, I am trying to find out how many of my moving expenses can be deductible for this tax year.
When did you move?
I'll be moving by the end of the year.
Okay, and are you moving across state lines, more than 50
yes.
miles away? Yes, you are. Are you moving
yes.
for a new job?
Unfortunately, I will get it, that's not the impetus of the move.
Okay. Bill and Mary.
Okay. Just to reiterate, she has to meet the 39 out of 52 weeks being employed after she moves to her new location. We've established it's over 50 miles from her old house to old job, old house to new job, so if she qualifies there. She's able to deduct her moving expenses and the cost of her relocation from her current location to the new location. If she drives, she's able to take the standard mileage allowance of roughly 24 cents a mile, and she can take up to 30 days of storage expenses.
So that's the cost of the moving van or the storage unit. You can, like you said, 30 days on a storage unit. Moving van, or you might rent a truck to move. If you have to stop on the way, you cannot deduct any cost for meals.
You do get to deduct lodging.
Good.
Susan, how far are you going? Where are you going to?
I'm going from Georgia to the Central Florida.
Okay, and so you, according to what Bill and Mary are telling you, most of next year you'll have to find a job and be employed. So for 39 out of 52 weeks, if you move, let's just say for ease sake, you're going to move December 31st. So next year you have to work in Florida 39 out of 52 weeks, and then these expenses can be deductible.
Okay, so if I don't get the employment by that time, is the closing cost, is there anything that I can deduct without that caveat of employment?
No, this is just, you can't deduct expenses if you choose to move to Florida because you're retiring down there, you couldn't deduct all the moving expenses. That's just what it is. So, and it wouldn't be out of this April 15th, it's not out of April 15th, 2015 for her. She would deduct them out of 2016, right?
That's correct.
So you have a whole nother year, Susan, that you have to, before you can actually deduct it.
Okay, sounds great. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck with your move. And remember, you can always listen online to the show. 1:13 past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. Let's continue on. David joins us on the line from Cumming. So, David, this goes all. Your question goes all the way back to 2008.
Yes, ma'am. In 2007, I got sick and I had to quit work. I didn't work anymore that year.
Okay.
So then, in February of 2008, I filed taxes as normal. Okay, I went back in 2009, and I hadn't made enough to even file. She told me, H&R Block person told me not to even attempt to file because all I'd be doing is paying them their fee. So since then, I haven't worked at all, so I haven't made anything. But this year, I turned 62 in August, and then in September, I started getting my Social Security check for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, do I file taxes now, this year, and next year after this begins, or do I still not file? Because I haven't filed since 09. I didn't file that year. I filed 08, but I didn't file 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I didn't file at all because I didn't make anything, and they said don't file. So now my question is, do I start filing again now?
I'd like to address that. If your only income is Social Security, you will have no requirement to file going forward. But in fact, if you have other income in addition to Social Security, potentially some of the Social Security could be taxable. So if that's your only income, no requirement to file, and none of it is taxable at the federal or at the state level.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, that makes it very easy. Thank you, David, and good health to you. It's not much fun being retired if your health isn't good. 15 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show. We have another David joining us on the line, this time from Gainesville. Hey, David.
Hello there, Elise. Thank you.
Sure.
Basic question. Since the tax preparation software is fairly sophisticated now, for the person that has a very basic standard tax burden, what advantages could services like Bills provide for the taxpayer?
Excellent question. What we have found is that as we look at every individual, there are subtle nuances. Sometimes we can, in fact, make some suggestions that may reduce your taxes or increase your refund that wouldn't be immediately obvious to you. Perhaps the Savers Credit, the 8880, some of the other things, Schedule A, knowing what to deduct if you're a homeowner and so on. Our standard policy is we're happy to consult at no charge. If it's that simple and you do it, we'll look at it, no charge, and say, yeah, file it. It's fine.
Great. Thanks so much.
Hang on.
We're not done with you yet.
Okay.
And I totally agree with Bill. And another advantage to seeing a tax professional once in a while is a little tax planning going forward. If you anticipate a retirement or a distribution or, you know, something that might change your situation significantly, you want to plan for it as opposed to just being surprised. But one of the nice things I'm finding about tax software nowadays is that if you get into some part of the program and you're not really 100% sure, the program or the software will actually tell you, we can't go any further. You must seek out professional tax assistance. And I have found that to be a very nice feature on software, because sometimes you get into a circular argument, so to speak, on your taxes, and you're not really sure which way to go. So I just wanted you to know that that was available as well.
And David, I really just want to re-emphasize what Mary just said, just in case you missed it. And for everybody else who's listening, tax planning, which is not what you do like March 15th to April 15th, but it's what you do the rest of the year. It's about thinking about taxes and going forward, and whether you're kind of in your 20s and 30s and thinking about buying investment real estate, or you're starting to save for college educations or whatever it is, planning for that and understanding what happens when you finally have the pile of money sitting there, what options it gives you, taking it out, what taxes you're going to incur, how that's all going to play out is just as important as actually filing the tax return. And I think a lot of times that stuff gets short shrift. It really does. And so you, and I just want to point out again, you can find Bill and Mary through our website. We'll put up all their contact information tomorrow. You can always send them questions through me at questions@thinklink.com. And we'll give you their specific information. Bill is the only person I know who gives out his cell phone number over the air, so stay tuned for that. It's 19 minutes past the hour. I'm on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Starting with yours, we have our giveaway next on WSB.
Depend on us for breaking news, weather, and traffic updates all weekend on WSB Radio. And join us Monday for Atlanta's Morning News, the next chance of rain, and Kirk Mellish's five-day forecast. Team coverage traffic updates every 6 minutes when you wake up with WSB.
25 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. Today it's one tax house at a time, starting with yours and WSB. We're going to get back to your questions in just a minute, and I do have Bill Nemeth's cell phone number for you. Very exciting. But we're going to do the WSB McDonald's Weekend Prize Pack first. Today, the value, $345. It includes a family four-pack of tickets to see the Gwinnett Gladiators versus Cincinnati on December 13th at the arena at Gwinnett Center, and a pair of tickets to the Atlanta Ballet's Nutcracker, December 11th through the 28th at the Fox Theater, and a Christmas decor package courtesy of Pike Nursery. So that value, again, $345. We are going to give it away to the fifth caller, just like we always do. The prize pack line, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Good luck to you. I want to give more complete contact information for Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody. All of this will be up on the website tomorrow, so you'll be able to go to thinklink.com and click on the blog. Bill's cell phone number is 770- 616-1638, and you can reach him there, or you can go through my website, thinklink.com, or his email address, wgnemeth, W-G-N-E-M-E-T-H, at AOL.com. And Mary Brody, you can find at Brody, B-R-O-D-I-E-M-E, at taxdoctorinc.com, All right, when we come back, we have a whole bunch of questions left, but we have some lines open, 404-872-0750. We're also going to tell you, and I think we'll do this right when we come back, Bill and Mary, what are a few things that you can do to lower your tax burden for next year? And here's a hint. It has a whole lot to do with saving for retirement and all the varieties of opportunity. So we're going to talk about that and take more of your questions at 404-872-0750. Next on the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Live and festive in the Publix Holiday Headquarters studio at WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live, here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online, Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. There's the Facebook page, Elise Glink, and, of course, questions at thinklink.com, which is where you can reach Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody. Unless you want to call Bill's cell phone, 770-616-1638. You can also, if you're looking for a different kind of enrolled agent or another enrolled agent closer to you, you can go to number 4GAEA.org. That is the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents. If you're nationally listening in via the internet today, the National Association of Enrolled Agents, so NAEA.org, will help you find an enrolled agent anywhere in the country. All right, so Bill and Mary, I promised everybody we would give them some quick tips to minimize their taxes next year, things that you can do before December 31st, which this year's on a Wednesday. So you've got a bunch of days left. Even if you wait all the way to the end of the year, you'll still have a couple of days left. What are your favorite things that you tell your clients to do in order to minimize their tax burden?
Well, I'll start off with, of course, as you intimated, the contributions to retirement plans, any that you can make before the end of the year if you're employed, a 401k, some of the retirement contributions that you can make could actually be made after December 31st, which would count for 2014. And that would be traditional IRA contributions. And for the self-employed, I would say that a SEP IRA is a good one because you can wait until the due date of the return to actually fund it. Mm-hmm. And that can be a great write-off. Also for self-employed people, small businesses, accelerating your expenses. It's a little more difficult to hold off getting paid, but accelerating your expenses. If you buy something on a credit card, it counts the day you bought it. So if you buy it by December 31st, even though you haven't paid the credit card, you still get the write-off in 2014.
That's good, too. Bill?
I wanted to make one other comment. A lot of people are applying for student aid, and when they file a return, it then gets integrated with the FAFSA. It turns out returns with refunds get processed first. And, in fact, returns with balances due generally are processed after April 15th, which may affect student aid. So if people have the ability of kicking a little more money in now to make sure they get a refund on their 2014 return, their return is likely to be processed faster if it shows a refund, and their student aid application will go right through.
You know, that's actually a great point because most people don't realize that I think the FAFSA forms open up, what, January 1st, January 15th.
Right, and the returns themselves are available about 3 weeks after they're e-filed if there's a refund.
Right, and when does the IRS open for business this year, do we know? You thought it might be a little delayed.
That's a crapshoot. Last year it was early February. I'm guessing February 5th, and I'd like to put money on that.
February 5th. All right, we'll take your dollar and then some. All right, other ways to think about it, maybe for small businesses. What can small businesses do? I know that you've talked in the past about deferring income until next year. Mm-hmm. If you've had a profitable year, sometimes that works, sometimes that doesn't work. Anything else they can do?
Yeah, it can get a little tricky with the deferring your income. If you actually got the check from the person who owed you the money, you've effectively received that money, and you are supposed to include it in the year that you received it. But one thing you might want to consider is an electric car. There's all kinds of credits, federal and state. I know Georgia has a $5,000 state credit, and the IRS has $7,500 for qualifying electric vehicles. The list of vehicles available for credits are on the IRS website. Just look up electric cars.
You know, I have to say the IRS website has gotten so much better since we started doing this tax show.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, I don't remember how many years we've been doing this, 7 or 8 maybe, 9? Don't tell me it's 10 because that would just make me feel super.
Not yet.
Okay. But I'm amazed. I was on there the other day looking for some information, and it has just gotten really much easier to navigate. So whether you're a business, small business, individual, married, divorced, same sex, whatever your particular issue is, I think it's pretty easy to find information now.
One of the other things that is brand new this year, the IRS, you can call them up and get your account transcripts. As of the 17th of January, individual taxpayers can sign up with the IRS and actually pull their own account transcripts, transcripts of their tax returns, wage and income back 9 years, and so on. So,
wow.
That's been a boon to some people. That's the kind of thing enrolled agents have been able to do forever, and we have the additional benefit. We can interpret this set of codes that are kind of meaningless to civilians. So our value add is we can tell you what it means, but any person can pull their own account transcripts now.
Do you have to be worried? We've talked in the past about identity theft. It's just insane, getting worse. We've got identity theft growing in leaps and bounds for tax filings, tax returns. What's the latest going on there, and what do we have to be worried about this year?
The IRS continues to put out press releases how they're stopping some of the fraudulent returns. What they're not doing is telling us how many they're not stopping. I'm still concerned about it. It was the number one growth industry for the past 2 years. They did do a pilot in Florida, Georgia, and Washington, D.C. for 2013 returns. Taxpayers could actually lock their returns in case they were concerned about tax identity theft. As of a week ago, the IRS has not given us any indication they're going to go forward nationwide with that program, but that's certainly what I would favor. And I personally tested it on our personal tax return, and it worked perfectly, just like it was supposed to.
My mother has had a horrible case about 2 years ago of identity theft where they just, I mean, they were just relentless going after even things like her retirement account that was in several different investment companies. So not even where her bank is, but in other companies, they were able to track it down and they tried to get access to it. They also tried to get her refund. Little do they know that my mother never has a refund. It doesn't even file until October, although we've taken care of that for this coming year, since now our returns are, our returns are affected. But she said last year somebody also tried to file a return in her name, and so that made her very nervous. So I think the message is that once you've had identity theft situation where you've been involved in it, I think you always have to be on your guard, at least as far as I can see.
I couldn't agree more. And the other thing is, once you've identified your account as being subject to identity theft, it is then locked. No one but you can file a return. And in fact, to get your wage and income, you actually have to call a special IRS theft line to get your wage and income, because it is not available electronically. Again, it's locked.
So you're not going to be one of these people who can go online and just pull your transcripts?
No, that is correct. If there is an identity theft indicator on the return, and that goes back like 3 years. So if you had identity theft in 2011, your return is locked. You're the only one that can file on it, either paper or electronically with your identity theft PIN.
All right, let's go to Charlie, who's been waiting for a super long time. Charlie from Gainesville, you have a question about your charitable contribution?
Yes, I do, Elise. Thank you. And my question is, I'm retired, and I would like to give a charitable contribution directly from my IRA to the charities involved to keep my AGI as low as possible. And the other caveat involved here is my IRA administrator requires that all this information be in by December 15th if they want to make it for this year. Any information you can give me on this, and I understand that this procedure came about and was not extended from 13, and that may be a problem.
Exactly. Are you over 70 and a half?
Yes.
Okay, so if this were 2013 tax year, you would qualify, and you could do the qualified charitable contribution directly. Doesn't affect your AGI. Life is good, and you're a good person. 2014, this is one of the extenders that we hope will be extended. All we can do is hope right now.
So, in other words, he doesn't know whether it'll be extended and if he can actually do this. And since there's only 2 weeks left, really, to the year, if it's not, you know, that takes him right up to the day he has to do it. So what's the backup plan if he doesn't know? What should he do if he really wants to make this contribution?
I would gamble and make it personally. That would be my opinion.
Make it directly?
Just like it was
qualifying.
Like it was
2013? So
yeah.
You're a gambling man, you go that way.
Absolutely.
What happens if it doesn't get extended and he does that?
His AGI bumps up by whatever his contribution is, and then he's able to deduct it on Schedule A.
All right, so the worst case scenario is they disallow the direct contribution, and then he has to flip it around.
Right. It's
See,
income.
The problem here, Elise, is if you're right up next to the Medicare number that jumps you about $40 per month per person, $80 a month, $1,000 a year, you become, it moves you up into that category, and it costs you more, as well as another tax category, apparently.
Yep. Yeah, you do get hit that way.
And not only if your AGI goes up, your adjusted gross income, because now you have to report this distribution from your IRA, it could also affect the net investment income tax. If you're up above a certain threshold, you have to pay an extra tax on your investments, on your interest and dividends. And a large AGI can hurt you in a number of ways. And like you said, if you're near that threshold, now the premiums for Medicare go up.
Yeah, that's correct. There's two thresholds that you're looking at. I'm at the first one. But the question I have, is there somewhere I could find out if this is extended, like call a congressman or senator's office?
We've been waiting. The tax professional community has been waiting on pins and needles for months on whether or not Congress is going to pull these. They chat about it, and nothing ever gets done. And the biggest problem is they might all get together in January and decide, you know what, that was a good idea. Let's make it effective for last year. And suddenly you do have the ability to get that exclusion from income, but you now have no time to do it because it's after the fact. I think that's why Bill might have suggested just gamble that they might do the extensions.
Yeah, I think that you have a very low regression if you have to go back the other way, Charlie, but, and if it goes through, then you're fine, and otherwise you'll have to reverse it and just know how you'll have to put it on your tax return. So you have to decide if it's worth it, if you want to do as much as you were going to do, and maybe doing a little bit less, would actually, if it does get reversed, or doesn't get reversed, or I don't know, doesn't get extended, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, it'll work out okay. So with that, it's 49 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for Last Tax Thoughts with Bill and Mary next on the Elise Glink Show. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
Elise Glink, Sundays on News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours.
It's our annual tax show on WSB. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show. Live on Sundays, we're moving to 11 o'clock starting next week. Football is over at the moment, so we'll be back to our normal 11 to 1 time starting next week. Of course, basketball's going to get in the way, but that's just another story. Mark joins us on the line from Marietta. Mark, a quick question about purchasing an electric vehicle.
Yeah, I'm looking into a 24-month lease, and is there any reason to lease this before January 1? My income will be less next year because I'm retired this year.
Okay. Bill and Mary?
Oh, there we go. You've probably named the best reason already, is that your income is going to be less next year. The last time we looked at leasing a electric vehicle, all the tax credits apply. And if you're in the state of Georgia, you get an extra $5,000 credit. So getting it before the end of the year would make a lot of sense because it would go against your 2014 tax bill, which could significantly reduce it.
Right.
All right. So go shopping. Go
okay,
forth
I
and
am
car
already.
Shop. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for joining the show. So we have just 2 minutes left. Bill, Mary, I want to give you just last thoughts and then tell everybody how to find you.
Oh, last thoughts. Yes, ma'am.
I know it's the end of 2 hours. This tax show always flies
no,
by for me.
No, I've just been waiting for this moment. ACA, Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
There's brand new forms that everybody's going to see on their 2014 taxes. There's going to be brand new terminology. You're going to get forms in the mail, 1095s, A, B, and C, possibly. And the one thing I wanted to throw out there is that divorced couples who one person covers all the health care of all the children, but the other parent or the now ex-parent claims one of the children as a dependent, they have to actually come to an agreement on the shared responsibility payment, and it could affect their taxes or the repayment of their premium tax credit one way or another. So I think that's something that really should be looked at. You know, talk to a tax professional about that.
Bill, we have 15, 20 seconds. Mary took all your time. So, last thought?
Last thoughts. If anybody is renting houses, they want to look at the repair versus capitalization regs that are now effective for 2014. The opinions are all over the place as to whether or not you'll have to file a 3115 form. but go seek out help from a tax professional if you have any questions.
All right. Normally, we have Bill and Mary who can answer questions and stay on, but this time they can't because Dave Baker is in the house, and he is coming on right now. So find Bill and Mary online at questions@thinklink.com. I'm Elise Glink. I will be back next week at 11 o'clock because football is over. So we revert back to our regularly scheduled time of 11 to 1 for the show. Basketball will get in the way a little bit, but we'll make it work, folks. I promise. Go to the website, thinkglink.com. Find me online at Twitter and at the Elise Glink Facebook page. Have a great week, everybody.